Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we open your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to open our hearts and minds to be receptive, Father, so that we can learn more of thy word and how to walk in righteousness so that we can make heaven our home, Father, but also so that we can help others around us to come to a knowledge that they need the Lord Jesus Christ, that they don't need to stand just within themselves. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study when we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Good morning there, Dennis. Glad to see you with us this morning. I know I've got you muted. All right, now, we're going to be here in chapter 11. And, of course, we've got several different subjects here as we go through. We're going to start out here as my Bible has it, the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Here in verse 1. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied thereon, never a man set. Loose him and bring him. 3. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord had need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. Now you see, He's sending these disciples after a colt that has never been ridden. Now, you think even the animals don't know him and obey him? They're going to be putting him on a colt that has never been ridden. And these days here in Jerusalem are Jesus' final days. And they are still disputing, actually, over the exact time. But tradition places Jesus on the Sunday before the resurrection. In other words, just a week before. So he's not going to be there too many days. Now, here's verse 4. He sent them now, told them what to do and what to say, if anyone said anything to them. 4, and they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye loosen the colt? We don't know what they're doing, loosening that colt. Maybe they think they're stealing it. 6, they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they told them what Jesus told them to tell. And they done just exactly as Jesus said they would do. They let them go. 7, they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. That colt ain't even throwing a fit. He ain't doing nothing. He ain't doing nothing. We just letting him sit and ride him. Now, and many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches of the trees and strode them in the way, making a pathway for him. And his entrance into Jerusalem. 9, and they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The crowd that's crying calls this word Hosanna, which means save, we pray, or save now. That's what that word meant. This is what they're saying. They're calling, using the word, and asking, really, for him to be saved. 10, blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. 11, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the evening tide was come, he went out again unto Bethany with the 12. But he don't like the looks of things here in the temple. He's going to do something about it. 12, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. than seeing a fig tree. Afar off, having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything thereon. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. You know, if it wasn't time for the figs, why did Jesus look for them? You know, but the thing about it is, when a fig tree has leaves, at the same time, that's when it also has figs on it. This tree was leaved, but it didn't have any figs yet. It'll never have now, because he just took care of that. 15. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. 17. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And look today what a lot of our big churches are doing. They're selling everything. We've got them out there that sells food. We've got them that sells all kinds of books. And all these things. I wonder what Jesus is going to say to them when they stand before him. Now, and it's not for me to say really whether that's right or wrong, but going by what he has done here and what he is saying here, it don't seem to be right, does it? 18. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and saw how they might destroy him, for they feared him. Now he's letting them know that that temple should be called a house of prayer. But he told them they'd made the den of thieves, and he chased them all out. Now they fear him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. What is his doctrine? The same as mine and yours is supposed to be. And that is the Word of God. That's this Bible. This is the doctrine that we are told to teach. And we're told if we come teaching any other, we are cursed. So we don't need to be taking it and making it say things that it doesn't say just so we can have a way of our own. That's exactly what has happened within our church world today. That's why we have so many different doctrines out there. And they really have nothing to do with each other. Now, 19, they were, well, 18, they were astonished at his doctrine. 19, and when evening was come, he went out of the city. 20. Now the lesson from this fig tree. And in the morning, pardon me, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. This tree has already had it overnight. 21. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. That's strong. And this should be telling you and I something too. Because it's not only meant for his disciples. It was meant for all. Now, 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. But you see, it takes that belief and faith without doubt or any unbelief at all. Because if there's any unbelief or any doubt creeps in, it will block it. It's not that God's not doing it, because he's already done it. But you have been the one to block things. And you've done that through unbelief and doubt. Now, and when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Don't go to him in prayer with unforgiveness of anyone in your heart. Because if you do, then he's not going to forgive you. 26. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. You see, he's telling you exactly what I just said. If you don't forgive, he's not going to forgive you. Now, 27. And they came again to Jerusalem as he was walking in the temple. There come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Well, we know all about them, don't we? We know they're not there for any good thing where he's concerned. They up to something. 28. And say unto him, by what authority dost thou these things, and who gave thee this authority to do these things? You see, because here is really not only unbelief, but also rejection and a way of looking for something to destroy him with. 29. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. But you see, Jesus knows it all. He knows that you're not going to tell him. So here's the questions he asked them. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. Oh boy. 31. And they reasoned with themselves. In other words, they got in the huddle, so to speak, talking about it. Now, here's what they come up with. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we shall say of men, they feared the people. For all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. Do you see? Their own thoughts and things is not good. 33. And they answered and said to Jesus, we cannot. And Jesus answering said unto them, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. You won't tell me? I'm not going to tell you. And he told them before they done it. But they still, because of their unbelief and fear, they would not give him an answer at all. Now, we have finished there with chapter 11. Let's see what we can do with chapter 12. We probably won't get all the way through it, but we'll see. And it's got 44 verses, so we'll probably not get all the way. But we'll get into it. In verse 1. And he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it, and digged a place for the wine vat, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And at the season he went to the husbandman a servant, that he might receive from the husbandman of the fruit of the vineyard. Now, you see, he's got somebody else now taking care of this. And they should be working it as part of it. And they get part, and the one that owned it gets a part of it. Now, here in verse 3, he has sent now the servant there to get his part. Verse 3, and they caught him and beat him and sent him away empty. He didn't get him nothing. 4, and again he sent unto them another servant, and at him they cast stones and wounded him in the head and sent him away shamefully handled. They're just not intending to do the right thing at all. 5, and again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also least unto them, saying, they will reverence my... You see, Jesus is talking here about Israel and about himself and all, and what's going to happen and take place. And Jesus also is foreseeing the treatment that he will receive. He'd be cast out of the vineyard. The book of Hebrews, chapter 13:12, speaks of Jesus suffering without the gate. But not only that, there is a lot of other things that's coming his way. And he knows this, and that's what he is talking about here. Now, but this husbandman says, they will reverence my son. 7, those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. Just exactly is happening to him there in Jerusalem. Now, you see, his own is the one crying for him to be killed. And it was of the leadership of the synagogue and all the churches turning others against him and taking him before Pilate in order to get things done to him and to get him destroyed. 9, what shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandman and will give the vineyard unto others. Now, 10. And have ye not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. this was the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. And we know that he is the head of the church today. His church. And he is the cornerstone. He is the foundation of it also. It is built on him. Because without him, we have no way of ever entering into heaven. Because we would be following the ways of this world, and we know that the prince of this world is Satan. And we would be wanting more and more and more and more of this world without the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is actually the shape they were in at this time. And that's why they were doing the things that they done. And they sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them, and they left him and went their way. Now, verse 13, and they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. See, always, just anything that they could come up with to catch him in his words. 14. And when they were come, they said unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Now they're hoping to get him to say something against Caesar. Because that would give them an excuse to bring him before Pharaoh. Shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny that I may see it. And they brought it, and he saith unto them, Whose is this image and subscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. And Jesus answering said unto them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. But you see, there is nothing hidden or secret from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You hide nothing from him. You may think you do, and you may be able to hide it from mankind, but you cannot hide it from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 18. Then come unto him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. And they ask him, saying, Master Moses wrote unto us, If a man's brother die and leave his wife behind him, and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. 20. Now there were seven brothers, and the first took a wife, and dying left no seed. You see, all of this is just being tempting and trying to catch him in order to be able to mail him with anything so they could destroy him. And the second took her and died, neither left he any seed, and the third likewise. And the seven had her and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. In the resurrection, you see, the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection. This is why they're going through all of this. In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall raise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife. 24. And Jesus answering said unto them, do ye not therefore err, because you know not the scripture, neither the power of God? 25. For when they shall raise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. You see, they can't catch him. Man is not smart enough to catch him and to outdo him. Yet man is still trying. They've never learned. Now, 26. And as touching the dead that they raise, have you not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. Because, you see, they don't know, and they are not accepting anything that the Lord Jesus is doing or saying in his teaching while he's here on this earth. Now, let's see. Yeah, we're going to take these next few verses and then we'll have to call it a day. 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. 31. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Those two commandments. And we are told there's none greater than those two commandments. To do you well to really memorize them. Probably do good for you to put them on a little sticky note and put them around someplace to where you're at every day, and you can read them every day, maybe a couple times a day, to keep reminding you of them, because they are the two greatest. Now, 32. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. 34. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that does ask him any questions. No man after that's asking him any questions. We're going to be reading these next ones over because we're getting down to close to where we're going to have to stop. 35, and Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calleth him Lord, and whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. See, David was not actually his dad, but he was of David's bloodline through Mary, his mother. 38. And he said unto them in his doctrine, Beware of the scribes, which love to go into long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplace, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation. He's warning us about things that most really don't think about. Don't worry about what you are wearing outside, because you see, he's really not looking at the outside, other than it's covered. We don't need $2,000 or $3,000 suits on to be seen. $300 or $400 for a pair of shoes. No. We don't need that. A pair of jeans and a t-shirt even will do. We don't need to be looking for the best seats and the most prominent seats in the church. Or anywhere we go. In fact, we need to be there kind of incognito. We're not there to be recognized and lifted up. That's not what we are to want. No. And we are to watch about going into other homes and places. You know, we don't need to be making long prayers I'm not saying that it's wrong to make a long prayer, but we don't need to be looking for that, thinking that the long prayers is what God is really wanting us to do. Especially the Lord Jesus, you know, in the Word, and we'll be coming to that one day, where the two was praying, one was praying a long prayer to be heard, and the other one just beat on his chest and said, Lord, I'm a sinner, forgive me. And he's the one that the Lord answered. Now, 41, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a fatherly. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them. Now, he called unto him his disciples, saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasures. What she cast in was practically nothing, value-wise. That didn't amount to a whole lot. A mite was worth something like maybe 1/8 of a cent. Think about that. Now she had cast in two mites, which was really nothing value-wise. But here Jesus is telling them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow cast in more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Things she had was in what she gave and cast into the treasury. She gave it all. And that's what made it more than what those rich was casting in. So they wasn't casting in everything. They were just casting in out of their abundance what they wanted to cast. Now, we today give offerings and things. We are to pay tax, and that we are told what that should be. To pay tithes is a tenth of what our income is. You see, very few are doing it. Very few day are actually tithing. But one day, they're going to have to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're going to find out what they are missing. All because they would not obey what God has told us to do. And I do know one thing. I am one that can tell you the tithing works. I spent years even after accepting and being put into the ministry. I spent years paycheck to paycheck, owing more people than I could think about, really. Just barely be able to get my check, be able to go to the store, get some groceries, and pay my bills. Have nothing left at all. And I was raising a family this way. But it kept bothering me. There's got to be a way. Because I know this is not really what Jesus wants. I'm not being able to help no one else or anything that's in need. And I went to meditating on this and praying about it. And Jesus led me to Malachi, the 3rd chapter. And I'm reading that. Come to this place to where it tells me that I am a robber and a thief. How was I robbing the thief? Because I was not paying my tithes and I was spending his money. That tenth, that first tenth of your income is not yours. It's his. And it has been from a way back in the Old Testament and has been brought forward for all of us. I started paying my tithes. And you know, things started straightening out and all. And today, outside of a light bill and a gas bill when I need gas for heat, stuff. Insurance on my house, on my car. I don't owe anybody anything. My home is, the home is paid for, the car is paid for, and I've even got a little money in the bank. I'm not, am I rich? No. But I've got everything I need, and I don't owe no debt out there other than just monthly things like lights and things that comes in that way. Think about it. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we close your word, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for the times that we can come together to share your word with each other and to study and help each other to receive the goodness of your word, Father, and to help us in this lifetime here on the earth so that we can make heaven our home. Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to work with them. Keep them in health. Keep them safe. And see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them. Father, we pray that they will all accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, and that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. In this land of ours, Father, that has brought so much evil upon its people, the leadership that we have, Father, that shown evil. Now, Father, be with us through this day. Watch over all as part of this ministry. Keep them in health. And bring us all back together again this evening at 6, Father, and back into your word. This is my prayer, Father. Amen. All right, everyone, have a great day. Bye-bye now.